Good morning, good morning, good morning, family. It is a great day. It is a great day because it's a day that God has given us. And I would like to first and foremost welcome those who are visiting, those who have been coming around for a while, those who just walked in on the street. And for our family here, welcome to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We welcome you guys with open arms. We are grateful that you decided to pick this place to come and worship with us. And so, you know, I was sitting here right before we started, and I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to start this out? And I'm getting, I can feel the butterflies starting to settle in on me. And then John walks up to me and he goes, "Hey, bro, you're going to be all right because you got the suit on today." And so it's an inside joke because we always say, like, every time I see John in a suit, I know he's preaching that Sunday. So thanks, John, for breaking the ice for me. Appreciate it. That's my brother. But, you know, it is an honor to be a part of this fellowship, this specifically this ministry. This church has done so much for my family. 5 years ago, we came here and we were embraced by so much love, so much attention to our needs and our family. And it's just been a great, great time. And so with that, you know, when you have so much time, it's been 5 years, you get to experience a lot of different things. You get to experience joy. You get to experience happiness. You get to experience sadness and tough times. But that's the beauty about being close to God and being close to the body, that you're not in it alone. And that's what I want to talk about today. I think when we talk about, when we think of this mountain peak here, this mountain peak represents the end. You want to get to the top. No one wants to stay at the bottom. No one wants the life trials to beat them down to the point where they never get to the top. And I pray that today, as we look at the different ways that we go through trials, I hope that you leave encouraged. I hope that you leave inspired, knowing that you are not alone in your trials. So simply put, the title of my sermon today is I get that to a moment. But I want to start this actually off with this quote. "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny." Now, I don't know if you didn't realize this, but you're ordinary. You're ordinary. Sorry. I know some of us are talented. You know, we play football with the best on our team. But you're ordinary. What? You're ordinary. But that's the beauty of it, though. The fact that you're ordinary, but yet you still get to the top. That's what makes you extraordinary. That's the destiny that God is trying to get us to. He's not trying to keep you down at the bottom. If I could. There we go. Yeah, that's where we at. Victory through adversity. No one wants to stay at the bottom, nor should you stay at the bottom. The point is to get above. The point is to have victory. But you know, there's some truths about the trials that we go through every day. There are some real hardcore truths. Now, if I decide to sit and take a survey of each and every one of you guys, you would be able to provide me so many truths. But I'm only going to talk about three truths about adversity. First, they're coming. That's the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat and lie to you. It's coming. Either you are experiencing it now or you will experience it, or if you experienced in the past, it's coming. That's the truth. Jesus says in John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus himself told us this. It is not a fact. It is not a lie. You will have troubles. You will have hard times. Sometimes people believe, well, knowing the truth is, you know, knowing is half the battle. That's like a G.I. Joe saying for all of you guys back in the day. Knowing the truth is half the battle. So you know it. The author and perfecter of our faith has told us this. And we're all going to have to experience it. Again, some of us may not be experiencing it right now. Right now, you're probably in the paradise mode. And that's okay. Don't feel bad. Yours is coming. Don't feel bad. It's coming. It's not only for you. It's not only for you. You're not the only reason why this trial is happening. In Philippians 1:12, verse 14, it says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Do you realize that the trial that you are going through right now is not just for you? Remember, you're ordinary. You're ordinary. You're not this made up, built up. You're ordinary. And so God has to use your trial for some or for many. And you got to think about that. Sometimes we're in our trials and it feels like it's all on us. We're the only one experiencing this. I'm the only one that has to deal with this. That is the lie. That is the lie Satan wants you to believe. That it's only for you. That you're the only one this is going to happen to. How many times have you sat and talked with someone who is going through something and yet their response astounds you? You just look at them and say, this is not real. I remember a few weeks ago, I sat down in the Ryle's kitchen and I was talking to Mike. And if you guys know them, you know this situation. I'm not going to go into details. If you want to find out, go talk to them. But he's sitting there and he's telling me what's been taking place these past few weeks for him. And I'm looking at him and he's telling me, you know, well, I mean, God is good. I mean, what am I going to say? Am I going to just, you know, ball my fist up to God and say, why? No, I mean, this is what we have to deal with. And God is going to see us through it. That's encouraging. Because it makes my pebble, it makes my mountain look like a little pebble compared to what they're going to. If I'm wanting to compare struggles. Because sometimes we do that too, right? We go, well, their struggle is this or their struggle is that. They're not experiencing what I'm experiencing. But Paul realized in prison when he wrote this, he's like, look, I realize I'm in prison and I'm being persecuted. But man, look what it's doing to the other brothers. They're encouraged. They're fired up. They're preaching God's word. He realized that his trouble was not just for him. Amen. And that is a truth. It is not just for you. You have to share your struggles. You got to open up. You cannot keep it to yourself. You got to let the next person know what you're going through so they can be encouraged, so they can be fearless. Trials are controlled by God. Your trial, your struggle, your whatever you want to call it is controlled by God. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. that's got to encourage you that what you are facing right now, what you feel is the most biggest, most the most uninspiring moment of your life, that God is in control. Could you imagine if you read the scripture and said Satan was in control of this? Can you imagine the outcome? There'll be no victory. If Satan was in control of your trial, there would be no victory. But it says God is in control. He will not let you get tempted beyond what you can handle. He's at the button like this. He's like, that's it. That's all he can do. That's all he can handle. That's what he's doing. He's in control of it. It may not feel like it. I know it's hard. It's sometimes hard to get out of bed because you think about the things that you got to face on a daily basis. Real life challenges, health, finances, school pressure, work pressure, relationship pressure. I know it's hard, but God is in control. He's in control. So those are the three truths. Now there's some warnings. There's some warnings as you go through your trials, because we already discovered that we are all going to go through them. Doesn't matter if you're young. Doesn't matter if you're in the middle school. You're going to go through some trials. Parents, if you don't believe me, talk to your kids. Ask them what their days are like. Ask them some of the things that they see. Singles, if you don't believe me, talk to the campus. Campus, talk to the singles. If you don't believe me, there are trials that's coming. But there's some warnings, though. There's some things that you got to watch out for while you're in your trial. Because if you don't watch out, you have some serious consequences that will follow. Now, living in the South, you guys know I'm from Brooklyn. We don't deal with green grass, flower beds, mulch. No, concrete. It's easy. Get the pressure washer, you're done. But look at this. You're living in the South, this is beautiful. I mean, I could just take a nap right on the lawn right here. Right? You got the flower bed. I think that's a Chinese maple tree in the corner? I don't know. You know, but it's all manicured. It's just pretty. You can tell it was maintained. You can tell that there was some care to it. Right? There was some care to it. No signs of weeds, pests, none of that stuff. It's like your heart when you take care of it. It's manicured. There's no weeds in it. Hebrews 12:15. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Look after each other. You're not alone. Amen. You're not alone. People should be looking after for you, and you should be looking after others. Amen. Because we can't miss God's grace during our trials. Can't miss it. Even when it's hard, we can miss it. It says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness. You know what I'm talking about? That when you eat an olive, it's just bitter. It makes your face turn. It just makes your face turn. Watch out. Watch out. Don't let any bitter root grow. Don't let any bitter root grow. Don't take your eyes off the lawn. Don't stop spraying it. Don't stop manicuring it, because if not, homeowners know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Weeds that take over and corrupt many. That's what happens in bitterness when you're allowed to take root, even when you're in your trial. This is what your heart starts to look like. Now you got to deal with that. You know how hard it is to deal with weeds when it takes over your lawn like this? When it gets to this stage, you might as well start all over. Just break it all up. Let me get some sod. I ain't got time for this. It takes time. It takes time to sit and pick out or treat. And it's so much easier just to maintain it as it grows. It's so much easier. But that's the warning. That's the warning. I could tell you right now, my neighbor, like our houses are like, it's like here and here. If he has weeds, I have weeds. Right. That's what happens. So I got to look out for him. I'm like, listen, spray some stuff over here. Make sure, look, we're unified. We're the same team, same team. Let's go. Let's go. Let's make this all. Sometimes I'll cut. Sometimes his yard is not cut. And I'll just cheat over and just kind of cut some of his so it could look, so it could be all unified. I got to look out for him. You know, it's my neighbor. Not. This is what's going to happen. His yard's going like this and my yard's going to look like this. What say you? Are you looking out for each other? Are you making sure your neighbors doesn't have weeds in their heart? That's the truth. You know, the way to beat bitterness is humility. It's the way to beat it. Because you're already in the trial. What are you going to do? You can't just give up. So the only other thing is do is, well, let me just get humble about this. Right? But look, this is what the bitter heart says. If God is all powerful, why is he letting me suffer? That's what the bitter heart says. Humble heart, in God's perfect plan, he'll perfect me through suffering. Amen. Amen. That's what the humble heart says. Bitter heart, I have the right to be angry. This is so unjust. It's not fair. Humble heart, even though my trials seem unfair, I will display a Christ-like attitude in order to bring glory to God. Amen. This is where I'm going. This is how I decide to deal with what I'm facing. I can't change it, but this is what the humble heart is saying. I seem to suffer more hardship than others. It doesn't seem fair. You see a theme? It's personal. You're getting personal with God. You're not blaming your boss. You're blaming God for all this. It's all God's fault. It's all God's fault. This is what bitterness do. This is what happens. I'm no different from others. God allows all his children to suffer. God's not playing favorites. You think just because his grass doesn't have any weeds that he doesn't have issues? You think when he closes the door and he goes into his garage and he goes into his house, you don't think he has troubles too? God is not discriminating. All of us are going to go through trials. The only difference is how will you respond? How will you respond? Now, I can't just give you the hard stuff and say there's no blessings, right? Like, that wouldn't be fair. But there is blessings, though, when you go through adversity and you have a humble heart during that time. There's some blessings that come with that. In Isaiah 43, in verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Can you just close your eyes and imagine what that must be like? To be able to walk through water, but somehow it's not going to go over me. It's not going to drown me. That I'm going to go through the rivers, but the current won't be so strong that it sweeps me off my feet and takes me away. That I could walk through fire and will not be ablaze, will not be set ablaze. It's hot, but I'm all right. It's a little wet. I got an umbrella. Can you imagine if this is how you deal with your adversity? That you look at God and say, you know what, God, this is what you're telling me? That when I go through this, I'm not by myself? That I will not be set ablaze? You know, you guys know my story. I've told you a couple of times about unemployment and all kinds of stuff that I had to face. I mean, my most latest one was last year. 2 weeks before Christmas, I get let go. Prior to that, they promoted me to regional manager. No write-ups. Actually, I was going above and beyond their quota. And I was just called into the office and they let me go 2 weeks before Christmas. And you sit there and I want to say, I don't understand. This doesn't make any sense. I did everything what I was supposed to do. Like, I was on time. I was reliable. I did overtime when I didn't want to. I went above and beyond what you asked me to do. This doesn't make any sense. Well, what am I going to do? All I could do is turn to God. All I could do is go to my brothers and sisters and find encouragement, share my struggles. Hopefully my story will encourage somebody else. But this scripture came, was so true to me. Because even during that time, I didn't feel overwhelmed. I didn't feel, it got kind of hot. You know, it was a little warm in the house. But I wasn't sweating. I wasn't burning and crying out to take me to the hospital because of the third degree burns I'm experiencing through my trials. So the scripture is true. This promise is real. That he will not let this happen. That he's in control of everything. Not some of it. Not part of it. Not a fraction of it. Not the one that I let him have. All of it. He's in control of all of it. And the promise comes with that. Say, hey, if you stick with me on this. Stick with me on this. I promise you. This is what's going to happen. And so, when we think about adversity, when we go through our times of struggle, we have to remember that God is not a God of chaos. It's not an accident that you're going through something right now. There is very specific reason or reasons why you have to go through this and why you have to be victorious, because it's not just for you. It's not just for your wife. It's not just for your husband. It's not just for your family. It's not even just for your church. You have no idea what I have in store for you. You have no idea who I'm trying to reach because of what I'm doing to you right now. My brother Perry came up a few weeks ago and he made this incredible analogy from something that he was reading about when you're not playing your role and God's just pointing his finger at you, but not to punish you or to stick it to you. He's just waiting for you to play your role out. I was like, man, that's so true. God is just sitting and waiting for us to play our role. Choose to play your role during adversity. Your role is to stay close to God and to encourage others with your trials. That's your role. God will take care of everything else. You just play your role and you'll see what God does. In Isaiah 43:18, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and the streams in the wasteland." This scripture has come to me from spending time with Mike Rao. And this was so long ago. And he was telling me how God is doing something new. And sometimes when people tell you stuff or they read your scripture, you don't really get it at the time. You know, you really don't get it. But God was doing something. And so for most of you, you probably know, this is my last service with you guys. Me and my family will be moving on to Cornerstone to lead the youth and family ministry there. And so, I didn't get there because I was extraordinary. Remember, because we're all ordinary, right? That means me too. But I got there, one, because of God, two, because of you guys. You, the fellowship, the family of believers, you've embraced us, you have loved us, you've had discipled us, corrected us, spoke the truth in love. All of the above. That's what this ministry has done for us. And so I tell you this from the bottom of my heart, that we love the Gwinnett Church. You guys are awesome. I only pray that this new thing that God is doing, that it will be 10 times greater than what we've already experienced. Amen. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for Gwinnett. That's my prayer for my family. That's my prayer for this next endeavor that we're going to go into. That this new thing that he's doing, that God will totally just blow our minds away. And so we want to just say thank you very much again for your, for everything. Everything that you guys been for us. And it's going to be hard, but in the end, I totally believe that what God is doing is far greater than what we've already experienced. Thank you.